So in here then it goes on, who art thou, O great mountain? As if there's a great mountain before Zerubbabel, thou shalt become a plain. The people of God, Zerubbabel being the head of them here, shall this big mountain shall be flattened, and he shall bring forth a headstone thereof with shoutings, crying, grace, grace unto it. This is the headstone, some would say refers to Christ himself, but he's building the temple here, which the temple is Christ, yes, and his people in Christ. But yet here, there's grace to him in the building of this temple against all the opposition, the work of God against all of it. It says that it shall be grace, the Lord's grace, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. And there's nothing that can be against this grace if we're in Christ. Moreover, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, the hands of Zerubbabel have laid the foundation of this house. His hand shall also finish it. And thou shalt know that the Lord of hosts has sent me unto you. And then, you see, this work is started difficult. Is it ever going to finish? Yes. The Lord says it will be finished. The Lord Jesus won't lose any of his sheep. The foundation has been laid, and the end is assured. See, it's really more a picture of Christ here. We always see Christ. If we see Christ in the scriptures, we won't go wrong. When we start seeing all sorts of things in there, all sorts of fanciful ideas of different people doing different things in different places of the world, then we can be pretty sure we're speculating about scripture. But when we see Christ, these things speaking of Christ, we can be sure that we're seeing things right. Whether we see Zerubbabel, yet we can see Christ as well. We can see his foundation and his finishing of his work. For who, now will you remember this? Here's another text which is very well known. For who hath despised the day of small things? People say today, we live in a day of small things. If you were at the Olympic Stadium, you'd say, we lived in a day of great things, I'm sure. But in terms of the work of God, we're not living in days of revival. We're not living in days of reformation. We're living in days more of apostasy and of small, thankfully not all small, but many small congregations, gatherings of Christians around the country and around the world. Though there are big churches that are also there too. But generally, the generality of people seems to be opposed, though again you see we can go off into our interpretations and say, well, actually in China there are, is it 80 million Christians? I'm not sure that the true Christians out of that number, and I'm sure they're all praying for the Olympic Games to be a great opportunity that the gospel will be made known. But here it's a day of small things. Where we are with Zechariah. In the past, if we take the context of where we are, they'd had a great glorious temple all made of gold that Solomon built. David prepared all the materials. Solomon built a great temple of gold. But here they don't have that. Here they're building a much simpler thing. It's a day of small things in comparison. But who hath despised the day of small things? For they shall rejoice and see the plummet in the hand of Zerubbabel. Well, that's a piece of tin, on rather like a plumb line that we would have. And when you see that, when you see that the architect is out at work and that they're taking measurements, you know that a big building is going to be built. And you know it's the beginning of just, you see someone holding a plumb line, it's not very impressive. Anyone can do that. But when it's the work of the Lord and it's begun, it looks small, it looks insignificant, but it's a great work. It's a great work. Small beginnings, the famous acorn and the oak tree. And so it is with the Lord's work. So I had some other references to the work of the Spirit that reflect this smallness, the apparent insignificance of it compared to might and power. For example, in Kings, where there's Elijah in 1 Kings 19, 11 and 12. Elijah was a mighty prophet, wasn't he? And he'd just spoken against the false prophets, had all been burnt up and destroyed, and the true God vindicated him with bringing down fire from heaven on his sacrifice. What a wonderful thing. But then Elijah was frightened off and ran away, and he needed to hear God. And it was talked about in 1 Kings 19, 11 and 12. And the Lord says, he said, go forth and stand upon the mount before the Lord. And behold, the Lord passed by, and great and strong wind rent the mountains and brake in pieces the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a still small voice. The 90 we say, the Psalm 95, is if today if you hear his voice, harden not your hearts. We don't hear the Lord generally as a mighty voice, but often as a quiet voice in our conscience. And we hear then from the Spirit of God that convicts us of sin. There's nothing very glamorous about being convicted of sin. We know that that's all we are in this world, sinners. But that Jesus Christ is the righteous Saviour. And we quietly put our trust in him. Sometimes there's a lot of noise when people are converted. But other times it is just like a still small voice. In John chapter 3 and verse 8, where Jesus is speaking with Nicodemus, the Pharisee, who becomes a believer later on. We don't hear about his conversion. Perhaps it happened on this day, quietly. Verse 7, it's, marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. This is by the Spirit of God. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. The Spirit, where? How did this happen? It's the way that God works. He sent the Holy Spirit, as John chapter 16 gives us, in verses 7 to 13. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. And when he is come, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Of sin, because they believe not on me. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father, and ye see me no more. Of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. I have yet many things to say unto you, but ye cannot bear them. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. That's the work of the Spirit, you see. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine, and shall show it unto you. The work of the Spirit then, to show us the things of Christ, to show us Christ. We cannot be Christian till the Spirit has come. And yet it may happen in a way that we don't give much account for the Holy Spirit. We just think of Jesus Christ. He is what the Spirit has shown us, and it is Him in whom we have this great joy in believing. So it's not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit. And it starts as a day of small things. It's good to have a day of small things. It's the beginning. And as it was the beginning of the work here, of this rebuilding of this temple that seemed to be less impressive, that day should not be despised, but it should be one of rejoicing. And so today we may say, well, it's a very small thing. My faith isn't very great. My church is rather small. I haven't got very far in the Christian life. But it's a small thing. If it's in Christ, if you're in Christ, it's a very great thing. It looks small to the world. Those that look on, they say, well, who are they? What have they got? But this small amount of us, of our being, that is taken up by the Lord, is a very great and a glorious thing. As we've seen elsewhere about God's jealousy for His people, then it goes back then after that section, it goes back onto the two olive trees, who are the two anointed ones that stand by the Lord of the whole earth. And I do think that Calvin, again, as I referred to, the great French reformer of the 16th century, is very sensible when he points this to God's sufficient supplying of grace to supply this oil, to keep it going, His continual blessing, His continual work that's going on. This is the God in whom we're trusting. Others would draw us to Revelation chapter 11 and to the anointed ones being two people that appear to be Elijah and Moses, and you can go on and on and on, and you'll find that you haven't got far. But to see it as God's great grace here, the work of Christ, the work of the Holy Spirit, if I had to choose two and to name them, I'd say it was them. And through all the work of whether it's Moses or Elijah or whoever it is, it's all the work of Christ. It's all the work of the Holy Spirit. You could go on to all these points at great length. But this vision that's given here, a heavenly vision of a candlestick continually alight, the oil being supplied to it, and it's a golden, a glorious vision with these beautiful trees beside the side of it. And it says, the interpretation is really given there, isn't it, that it's not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. So for us today, if we know that we're in the Lord Jesus Christ, if we know that He's died for our sins, we have this work of the Holy Spirit in us. Some people think that they wouldn't have the Holy Spirit unless they were perfectly holy and sanctified. Well, you can be sure that if you've turned from your sins and hate your sins, and you've put your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, then the Holy Spirit has begun a work in you. Christ has begun a work in you. We almost interchange the use of the persons of the Godhead when we think the Father has begun a work in you. And though it seems like a very small thing, and you could despise yourself perhaps, thinking, I've made so little progress as a Christian. But if you have turned to Christ, and your whole trust is in Him and not in your own works, but all this grace unto it, you've heard this to you, grace unto it, this work that started, I'll finish it. You apply all this, you see, to Jesus Christ. It's wonderful, isn't it? That what was going on in a temple all that time ago, it applies to us today. It's a small thing. But we're not to despise the grace of God toward us. And the promise of completion and keeping us right the way through. And you would find numerous quotations throughout the Bible and in the New Testament to encourage you in your walk with the Lord. And this is exactly what Zechariah is doing here. The temple work is going on. It's opposed by Satan, opposed by the world, despised as being small, despised for not having might or power. But my spirit, saith the Lord. This is the promise of God in the Lord Jesus to all that turn to him, that his spirit will be with us and will bring us and keep us with that oil burning in the from heaven itself. God's goodwill, his grace towards sinners is quite assured. If we're in the Lord Jesus Christ, we should be encouraged. We should go on with this building work, with whatever the work is, to love the Lord, to love one another, and all the things we have to do in our lives. That if God be for us, who can be against us? May this be help, encourage you in this week with all the Satan's evil schemes and man's wickedness trying to corrupt the truth. May God bless us. Amen.